Hi, you're listening to the Petrie.com MJF Chat Show. I am Mary Jo Foley, aka your Petrie.com community magnet, and I am here to interview tech industry experts about various topics that you, our readers and listeners, want to know about. Today's MJF Chat is going to be all about how Microsoft is working to make the Windows command line cool again. And my special guest today is Microsoft Senior Program Manager, Rich Turner. Welcome, Rich, and thank you so much for doing this chat with me.
Hey, Mary Jo. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's always great fun to talk with you.
Yeah, same. It's been too long. Rich has been at Microsoft like 4 years now. Is that right?
In this tour of duty, yeah.
Yeah, this tour of duty.
I actually was at Microsoft from 2000 through 2010, and I left and I went out into the real world and did real worldy things, running startups and all kinds of stuff. Yep. And I came back to Microsoft at the beginning of 2006, having sent some flame mail to my now boss, complaining about the state of the Windows command line and what was Microsoft doing about it and so on and so on. And he said, come for lunch. And I came for lunch. 2 weeks later, I'm interviewing. 2 weeks later, I'm walking into Neo and thinking, well, here we go again. And
wow.
It's been an amazing ride this last 4 or 5 years. We've been doing incredible things that I'd never even have thought we'd been allowed to think about in my first tour of duty.
I don't think you would have been.
Shipping the Linux kernel inside Windows, building a new terminal. Who'd have thought these things would be important?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny to think just like a few years ago, if you said to someone, by the way, there's going to be a Linux kernel in Windows, they'd be like, what?
Exactly. Yeah. And that Microsoft shipping it, right? It's actually built into Windows. It's quite an amazing thing. And it just goes to show just how much the company has changed.
Yes, it's
so much more fun now than sometimes in the past. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And then this year at Build, back in the spring, Microsoft unveiled the Windows Terminal app, which also was kind of surprising to people. I remember thinking, "Oh wow, I can't believe they just did that. That's very interesting."
Yeah. It's interesting. The terminal has turned out to be one of the most popular both open source projects Microsoft has shipped recently, and also one of the most popular apps that we've shipped. So
really?
Users who want to just use the terminal, they just want to install it from the store, and they can go to the Windows store and they can just click a button, download the terminal, and a few seconds later they're up and running with a new fresh take on the Windows command line user experience, which had lain fairly neglected and unloved for many years until our team took it over and started working on it.
Right.
So we've added a bunch of the features that users have been asking for years and years and years, and that we've been asking for years, and which I actually asked my now boss in that flame mail, when are you getting around to adding tabs to the terminal and so on and so on. And so we finally been able to ship those things, which is incredibly exciting for us.
That is.
I
was going to ask you, your group does WSL and terminal. What else do you do in your group that you can talk about?
So we own the interesting thing is that the terminal itself, we'll leave WSL to the side for just a second, but WSL itself, Windows Terminal itself is built out of many of the components that used to live deep within the Windows console. When you run CMD or you run PowerShell today, or you run any command line application from Windows, it will pop up a command line UX on the screen. That thing that you see on screen is the same application, whether you're running PowerShell or CMD or whatever app you're running. And that's the thing that's been in Windows since NT 3.51. It was one of the very first apps ever built for NT when they were building NT itself. And it has had a few owners over the years and has had many people contribute to its code base over the years. But no one's owned the code until about 2014. When they formed a new team here in our division to take over that code base. The interesting thing is that the console UI that you see on the screen there isn't just UI. It's actually a monolithic application that provides the entire Windows command line infrastructure. When you build a command line app like a Git or a Node or Midnight Commander or whatever Windows command line application you use, when you call an application to set the foreground, call an API to set the foreground color, to set the background color, to output text, to move the cursor to a given location, every time you call one of those APIs, your command line application is essentially making call across process to the terminal to which it's attached, the console to which it's attached. And the console provides the API server. So your application, every time it tries to write to the screen, for example, is calling a method exported by or exposed by the Windows console. And the Windows console then draws the thing on the screen and then returns back, and then the command line application continues. This is a very different way compared way of operation compared to most terminal applications, especially those built against the Unix platform, the Unix Linux platforms, which basically sit there and accept keyboard input in and then write text back just by emitting text to whatever's listening on the other end. So with Windows Terminal, we wanted to really overhaul things and really modernize things. And we wanted to continue to support existing Windows command line applications so that none of them had to change in any way. And we continue to do that by providing an API server, essentially, that performs the functions requested of it by the by the terminal. And then also adopts a more Linux-like behavior of being able to parse a stream of text and pull out of that stream of text the VT sequences, the character sequences that describe how the text should be formatted, colored, where the cursor should be moved to, clearing the screen, and all those kinds of operations. They're embedded as codes within the text, essentially, in Linux and Unix. And we wanted to adopt that world as well. So we essentially now do both things.
So what provided the impetus for Microsoft to create the terminal app? I mean, did people say, we want a terminal app? Or did you have a specific audience you were trying to get to when you thought about creating this kind of a terminal app? I'm looking for a little historical thinking about how it came to be.
Right. So it's interesting. When you look back through, especially through the 2000s, you look back at the world we were living in then when everything had a GUI, and in order to operate Windows in particular, you used a GUI, and you clicked buttons, and you moved sliders, and you clicked checkboxes, and so on, to administer things, to change settings on things, and so on. That was the world in which we lived, especially in the early half of the 2000s. But then the rapid growth in especially open source projects, and especially cross-platform or Nix platform open source projects, meant that an awful lot more stuff was being done at the command line. So if you think about things like Git, when Git came along, it was a purely command line application. It still today is a purely command line application, although you can get GUI front ends, essentially, and tools that integrate with and sit on top of Git. But primarily, things like Git came along, and Node came along, and Python has been there, obviously, for years, and pip, its package manager, and npm being Node's package manager. And all of these tools started emerging and arriving, which were all command line tools. And you think about Ruby, and you think about the multitude of open source and cross-platform languages and tools and platforms and so on. An awful lot of them, the vast majority of them, I'd say, are command line applications. And for those people wanting to use all those things, wanting to use JavaScript minifiers and JavaScript bundlers and all kinds of things like that, all of their work was done at the command line, or an awful lot of their work was done at the command line, and writing script files and batch files and text-based instructions as to what to do with the workflow, which resulted in the move to continuous integration, continuous deployment, where one takes a code base, and every time a check-in is made to that code base, it then runs through a series of workflows to check that the code is okay, to minify it, to format it to common standards, to run a bunch of tests against it after building it. And if all the tests pass, then automatically deploy it into the cloud. That kind of stuff was becoming really prevalent by the 2010-ish mark. And of course, anybody on Windows then goes, hey, I'm going to try and use Node and Python and Ruby and Git and so on and so on. And they're using this command line interface, which was designed in 1989.
Yeah, exactly.
Hasn't changed much and has numerous frustrations and weaknesses, and it had a lot of missing features, and it drove people nuts. It was a continual source of feedback from the community that they wanted a decent command line interface. And eventually it got to a point where even the likes of myself send flame mail to Microsoft. luckily, I just sent the flame mail at the point where they were literally forming the team had just been formed and given the remit of overhauling the Windows command line, modernizing it, enhancing it, and making the Windows command line a much, much nicer place to be for those people who needed to work in that environment.
Gotcha. Okay. So which came first then? The redo of the terminal app or WSL, or how are those two things connected?
So they came about in parallel, actually. WSL is an interesting one because essentially what happened was at the very beginning of Windows 10, my now boss that I sent flame mail to had begun a process with a bunch of other people to create a user voice forum to ask the community directly what they would like to see happen in various areas of technology. So in the Windows UI tech stack, what would you like to see as a UI developer? In the Windows command line world, what would you like to see as a developer and user of those tools and technologies? And we essentially allowed the community to send in feedback, and User Voice had a really good way of handling upvoting. And originally they changed their voting policy later, but ultimately you had 10 votes and you could only spend 10 votes. And until a feature was implemented, you didn't get a vote back. So you had to spend your votes wisely. And it meant that people tended to apply votes to things that really mattered to them. And if you look at the list of things that people asked for with regard to the command line, the number one thing was, I want to be able to run this Nix application or tool on Windows. Number two was, overhaul the console. I want tabs, I want emoji, it's too slow, yada yada. And so WSL was really born from that ask from the community of saying, I want to be able to run grep and sed and awk and git and node and Python and Perl and Ruby and all of those things that they run on Linux on a daily basis, but I want to be able to run those things on Windows. So we took a look at a bunch of options, from doing something similar to Cygwin, where we recompile a bunch of the GNU tools to run on Windows. Unfortunately, that approach is a very short-lived one for what we wanted to achieve, because we would have an endless long tail of things that we hadn't yet recompiled to Win32. And trying to keep up with updates for all of those technologies would be extremely difficult. So that wasn't really a comprehensive solution to the problem. Running a VM at the time with the VM technology that we had at the time wasn't really feasible, because booting up an entire VM took a lot of time, took a lot of memory, and so on. And so we said, what would happen if we could literally run or create a layer in NT that pretended to be Linux? Could we build enough of that to allow Nix applications, unmodified Linux binaries, to run on Windows? And that's essentially what we did. So we worked with a team in the Windows kernel base team here who'd been working on an Android runtime platform. And then we said, hey, what would it take to actually extend that and run Linux? And they said, well, actually, it would be not too much work, not in huge inverted commas. And so we spent about 8-9 months or so implementing a few more of the Linux syscalls, and we started getting these Linux binaries to be able to light up and run on top of that Linux kernel layer, on top of the NT kernel. And that allowed us then to run the tools natively and unchanged as well, which is really important.
So does that mean that WSL came out of the work that Microsoft was doing on the Android bridge, the Astoria thing?
Yes, it came from Astoria. The team that built WSL were Astoria team members.
Oh, really? I don't know if I knew that. Or maybe I knew it and forgot. But
considering the landscape the breadth of the landscape you cover, I'm not surprised. The Astoria thing was, it was a very interesting project for Windows Phone to try and run Android on top of Android apps on top of Windows Phone. And so they'd implemented an awful lot of what we already needed. And we just said, hey, just keep going. Build a few more syscalls, and then things started running. And then we got Hello World in, GCC compiled Hello World to run. And then we got Java to run. Then we got Node to run. And each time we implemented a new syscall, which are essentially the functions that the Linux kernel exposes. Every time we added a new syscall or improved the implementation of a syscall, suddenly we'd unlock 20, 30 things sitting on top of it. And we just kept going like that until we announced WSL. And then we kept going with the community and said, hey, let us know what's not working. And then we'll go and figure out which syscalls are missing. And we'll try and implement those things. And that's where WSL came from. So in parallel to that, of course, if you're running, and again, WSL, especially WSL 1, was primarily focused on the command line. We didn't focus on running Linux GUI apps, although many eventually did end up working quite well on WSL 1. But primarily focusing on the command line. So if we're running these Linuxy command line things, then wouldn't it be awesome if we had a command line user experience that actually was able to run them well, that was able to understand the stream of text coming back from these applications when you type in a command and you get text output out from the tool you're running?
Yeah.
We need to be able to understand the embedded VT codes, the embedded virtual terminal codes that say, turn the foreground color to red, turn the background color to blue, emit this text, move the cursor to this location, clear the screen, etc. So we then started adding an implementation of a VT parser to the Windows console as it was, as it is, and will always remain built into Windows itself, so that we could actually use many of the Linux command line tools which use VT and embed VT into their output text. So those two things basically evolved side by side. As WSL started running more things, we would start seeing more and more unexpected and unimplemented VT sequences. So we'd then go and implement those VT sequences, which let those tools run well. And then WSL would go and implement another syscall, and that would unlock another tool, which would emit another VT pattern we hadn't necessarily seen. And so in partnership, going back and forth on a very rapid cycle, especially during the Insiders program with the help of our amazing community, we were able to track down and implement the sort of the 80% case, both of the 80% of all the syscalls that Linux tools used, as well as 80% of the VT sequences that that the terminal had to implement. And we ran like that for the good for a good year or so to dramatically improve Windows console's ability to understand VT. Also adding accessibility features as well to expose the console's contents to screen readers and various other assistive technologies, which we found it to be incredibly important and which the community seems to agree and really appreciates that work, which is great. So we have a great relationship with our accessibility folks and our accessibility community. We continue to do that work today in Terminal itself, in fact, in the last couple of releases. We've reattached that accessibility engine essentially to Terminal as well, so that we have the same level of compatibility and support for assistive technologies across Windows Console and Windows Terminal. And of course, we're doing it all in the open as well. That was the other big thing about the console was we didn't want to have to build this thing in-house with only us seeing the code and understanding how it worked. We wanted to work with the community and to be able to expose that code to the community. And have their assistance in helping us figure out where really wonky, really unusual VT sequences work in this particular way. If someone's got experience and specialisms in that area, then we want to be able to learn from them and to have them help contribute as well. And that's certainly borne out to be the case.
Nice. So is the Terminal app a UWP app? I'm opening a can of worms. I know.
No, not at all. This we've actually been relatively transparent in this, but in the, for example, in many of the comments and issues around the terminal itself. So it's good to talk about this from a higher level as well. When we first started selling the idea internally of building a terminal, because of course, remember, you know, Microsoft is a corporation. They want to know that when they're going to spend developer dollars on hiring people and paying people to work on a project, they want to know there's going to be a good return and that the customer base and the users are going to appreciate the work. So, and that they need the work and it's important to them. So we had to go through a process of validating why we had to build a terminal and who, how many people it would impact and yada, yada, yada. So one of the things we wanted to make sure was that when we built the terminal, that it was a good citizen in terms of the modern Windows app platform. We wanted to be able to show if you wanted to build a terminal-like application, here's how you might go about doing so, and here are some of the UX design choices, and also here are some of the implementation details behind the scenes. So we wanted to build a terminal as a full UWP application. The challenge is that terminals are very unusual in compared to most Windows applications, most applications in general, in fact. Most applications don't need to run elevated, don't need to run with admin rights.
Right.
Most Windows applications these days, since Vista first plugged all of those Windows XP security holes, most applications have now been modified and upgraded and updated to no longer depend upon an assumption that they're able to go and touch and fiddle with whatever they want throughout the system, which makes them much safer, makes them much more reliable, etc. But for command line applications, you often do need to run a script that goes and modifies some system-wide setting or copy a file into a particular location on the hard drive that may be a protected area, and so on and so on. So you need to be able to run many command line tools elevated, which means that the terminal to which they're attached needs to run elevated as well. So we avoid many forms of security vulnerability and weakness. So UWP applications are not allowed to run elevated. UWP applications are also not allowed to launch arbitrary external external binaries and talk to them, which terminal is, that's basically what it does. The terminal fundamentally is very, very simple. It accepts keyboard input and squirts it out as characters to a listening application. And then it takes text emitted by that listening application and draws it on the screen. The terminal itself does very little in fact, in reality. It's the command line application to which it's attached that does all the work, like PowerShell, Bash, WSL, CMD, et cetera, et cetera. So when we started building the terminal, we figured out that we couldn't actually use the full UWP platform quite in the way it was originally implemented. We've continued to work with that team. We've actually got work ongoing to help make it easier for us to actually build a UWP terminal in the long run. But for now, what we basically had to do was to create a Win32 standard Windows desktop application host, which we in which we host a XAML island, which is the technology that allows you to essentially integrate modern WinUI XAML controls on top of a traditional Win32 application. That's all housed on top of the XAML island, essentially. And so we build 90% of the terminal itself is built on top of the XAML island. The terminal itself, the innards of the console and the terminal innards, are all essentially stored in a set of DLLs and libs. And we then wrap those in a UWP control so that we have a terminal control. And we embed that terminal control inside the terminal app, along with the WinUI tab control that we worked in partnership with our friends in WinUI to build for us. And so we're building the terminal as most developers would. You start with an application, you put in a XAML island if you're going to use XAML UI, and then we have a tab control and a Windows terminal control, and we build the application in a very modular fashion that way. That means that when the platform eventually does evolve and is able to support our requirements in terms of being able to launch launch arbitrary binaries and be able to run elevated, then we'll be able to literally do very little work, maybe a week or so's work, maybe a couple of weeks. The devs are going to kill me for saying this, but maybe a couple of weeks worth of work to simplify the app and pull away the Win32 stuff, leaving just the WinUI stuff and the modern application is left behind, essentially.
So is the only way to get the app right now through the store or not?
So that's,
I know, I'm asking all these, like, is it this or that? But it's kind of both, right?
it's a little bit of both, Primarily, if you're on Windows 10, and if you're on Windows 10, 1903 or above, we recommend that the majority of users, especially those who don't want to delve into the innards of the console or terminal, just go and grab it from the store if you can, install it, and you're good. If you're a developer who wants to work on the innards of the console or customize it to your needs, then you can go and get the code itself. You can... All of the code for the console is open source, so you for the terminal is open source, so you can build the whole thing yourself. You can modify it, tweak it as you wish. And if you'd like to help us fix issues and round out features and add new features, then we're happy to work with you on that as well. So if you want to do that, you can build your own, and you can run the one that you build yourself alongside the one that you get from the store if you wish. Which is sometimes useful if you're working on something and break the behavior and you still need to be able to use a terminal. You can run both side by side. But for those people who work in enterprises that block the Windows Store, and or if you're working in an environment where you might want to run on Windows Server, for example, you will basically have to go to a manual install scenario. And for that scenario, you'll need to go and get a build from the GitHub repo. Every build we publish to the store, we also publish to GitHub. And you have to manually install that stuff.
You just gave me the perfect segue to the next question, by the way.
Okay, cool.
So one of our readers, New Nix, in the forums, he said, I'm using WSL on both Windows 10 in the Insider Fast Ring and Windows 2019 vNext. I would like to ask, will we see one day Windows Terminal on Windows Server Core 2019? And he said, the reason I'm asking this is my go-to terminal on 2019 is Commander, CMDER, installed with Chocolaty.
Sorry, could you restate the beginning of his question?
Yeah, so he said he's using... Yeah, he's using WSL right now on Windows 10 and Windows 2019 vNext. So I think he's meaning the server insider builds, right? And he said, I was wondering if I'm going to see Windows Terminal running on Windows Server Core 2019.
So for the server story, server is moving more to a world where it's generally recommended, and this is, I'm talking as someone who used to run server on every laptop and desktop I owned until about, well, really until Windows 7 came along, and Hyper-V and IIS were available on Windows 7, and I no longer needed to run server. But I ran server on every machine I had for many, many years. The general approach has been to treat server as a largely headless environment these days, and to do the work on Windows 10 and then to deploy your app to server. However, we do know there are many people who, especially those who work in network administration and sysops and DevOps and so on, they prefer to work on the platform that they're going to be deploying applications to in production. We totally understand that. So. So yes, you can actually get Windows Terminal to run on Windows Server today with the Desktop Experience Pack if you install the correct Visual C++ runtime. That's the one dependency that we have. It's a little bit tricky to find it right now and to install the correct VC runtime dependency. But once you've installed that, then you can manually download the terminal build from GitHub, and then you can install that application on your machine and you can run that on server. There are a few hoops that you currently have to jump through that we're working hard right now. Literally, I've got conversations this week with a couple of other teams to figure out a smoother path for all of this. But ultimately, we do want you to be able to run this thing on Windows 10, on Windows Server with a Desktop Experience Pack, so that you can run on the platform that makes most sense to you.
Okay, that's good. So I have one last question for you before we sign off. I'm not asking you to break any NDAs here. I'll start with that. But any broad hints you can give us about what's next for Terminal / WSL? Like just kind of like in a general sense.
Okay, so that's one of the great things about the way that we're running the terminal project in particular, and it's that because we're doing everything in the open, we're being very open and transparent about our future. So for terminal itself, we are literally at the back end of November right now as we speak. Our goal is to get to what we call feature complete by the end of this year, i.e. in reality, because a lot of the team are disappearing for Christmas, we're aiming to get to feature complete by about December 13th, Friday, December 13th. Because the week after, we're all disappearing to go
to
vacations in various parts of the world.
So
we're trying to get to feature complete this side of Christmas. After Christmas, we then switch into a mode of stabilizing, tuning, polishing, and really going to town on quality. as opposed to building new features.
Yeah.
For V1, we've actually published on our repo what the list of V1 features are that we're aiming at. Okay. We'd like to at least get the basics and the fundamentals of those features in this side of Christmas. And then from Christmas out until spring next year, we're basically going to be focusing almost all of our time on quality, on polish, on fixing bugs, fixing perf issues, compatibility issues, making sure accessibility mechanism rocks, et cetera, et cetera. And okay. So we'd like to be able to get to call Terminal V1 spring next year.
Okay.
Calling V1 in particular is important, in particular for many enterprises that don't allow their developers to use technology that is in a beta or non-released form.
Right.
Right. Yep. So we want to be able to get the terminal into a really good shape where both we and the community sign off and say, yes, this is great. This has, you know, there are no major blocking security or reliability or perf issues, no major blocking compatibility and quality issues. We think this is a really good solid V1. At that point, we'll call it a V1 with help from our community as well. So we really need your feedback on that.
Okay, cool.
But we really want to be able to call V1 and say, right, we now feel confident that this is a V1 quality product and that enterprises can trust this and rely upon this in a production enterprise environment.
Okay.
Obviously, as we wind down through that process, there will be fewer and fewer bugs that we'll be able to take later and later in the process. And as we pull developers off from quality work, or as they run out of quality work, as we start to fix it, more and more issues, they will then transition on to the features for after V1. Mm-hmm. And we have a long list, long and growing list of features we want to add for vNext. We're looking at all kinds of things right now, but including an extensibility mechanism so that you can write and build extensions for a terminal that run inside and alongside terminal, but without having to modify the guts of the terminal itself, which would be really exciting. That we expect that to be really, really quite exciting in a similar kind of way to Visual Studio Code
right.
has flourished with a huge raft of community-driven and Microsoft-provided extensions as well. Mm-hmm. We would hope to see a similar thing with the terminal.
Nice.
For WSL, they are working on WSL V2 right now. WSL V2 fundamentally changes the architecture of WSL to use some new container-based virtual machine technology. Instead of having a layer at the top of the NT kernel pretending to be Linux,
right.
we essentially run a lightweight VM that boots up in less than 2 seconds. Upon which we then run all of your Linux distros, and they run with 100% Linux compatibility because they're actually running on top of a Linux kernel, which we ship in NT, in Windows itself, which still blows my mind to say that.
I know, right?
So they're planning on shipping that again springish next year, and that will round out the V2, first implementation of V2. Okay. And then after that, they've got a long, long list of features that are continuing to work on for WSL as well.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you again, Rich, for doing this. This was super interesting. I feel way more caught up now on what's going on in the terminal.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for inviting us to talk and for sharing this information with the audience.
Yeah.
And let's see if we can do this maybe more frequently. Maybe every few months we catch up.
I love this. I love that idea. And for everyone else who's listening to this, all you MJF chat readers and listeners, we're getting ready for our next chat right now. I'll be posting that information on Petri very soon, so you can see who I'm going to be chatting with, and you can submit your questions through the forums. In the meantime, if you or someone you know might make a good guest for one of these MJF chats, please don't hesitate to drop me a note. All my contact info is available on petri.com. Thanks again.